With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and what's next. It's a show that asks questions and peels back the layers of our average everyday experience and goes beyond scratching the surface. We interview people doing incredible things who are making a difference around the globe. Join me as we listen in and get one step closer to understanding that big ideas shared create collaboration. Collaboration can inspire community, and communities create social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next two guests are here today to talk about a new film that I love from the Toronto International Film Festival last year called Aquila's Escape. It's a stunning, a beautiful film. It's about Greek myth, and it's a tragedy, but it's hopeful. It's deeply relational. It's a moving, compelling film and a story that you're going to want to step into. And so my guests today are Saul Williams, who takes on a lead role in the film, and Motion, the screenplay writer alongside of Charles Officer. But what I would like to say about Motion, or Wendy, is that she won the Canadian Screen Award for Best Screenplay as well. So it was just a real treat to have the two of them on the show. We talk about memory and empathy and politics, history and family, and just about change. We get into the Iliad as well in Greek myth. You know, James Baldwin comes up a few times. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced, said Baldwin. We talked about why great cinema has to be experiential, and we got into poetry and about this beautiful existential notion of lived experience. Saul is a talented writer and a performer, and his, you know, speaking of performance, his performance in this film is outstanding, out of the park as far as I'm concerned. I was alongside of him, I'm going to say Motion, throughout the whole film. We talk about how existence is really resistance, and how you're going to want to find out exactly what that means, and how racialized capitalism actually applies as well. We talked about pushing the boundaries and speaking out loud and being honest and being public, and this thing Saul gets into, and both Motion and Saul talk about this interior work that we kind of all have to do. This is a hauntingly beautiful film. So stay tuned. It's coming right up on Face to Face. It was a real thrill to have both of them on. You can catch the film in a variety of different places. Might even still be playing at the TIFF, as well as check it out on Amazon and other places online. CaneSugarFilms.com is where you can find out more about Aquila's Escape. And again, what a real pleasure to have these two people on the show. And I had a blast as well. And it's one of those classic interviews for me on Face to Face that, from my perspective, could have gone on for a much longer time. We were just kind of barely scratching the surface. And like I say, having a great time doing it. Don't forget DavidPeckLive.com for more information about my writing and my speaking. And you can get to the podcast there as well. FaceToFaceLive.ca is going to take you there. And you'll see close to 560 interviews now, coming up very close to 600 interviews by the end of the Toronto International Film Festival this year. I think I'm going to be pretty close to that, pushing it anyway. And please leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify, depending on where you actually listen to podcasts. And also, I wanted to point out that I am now the host of a new podcast called Driving Change. connected to the Impact series. Check it out. We've got two episodes online, one about a film, a documentary film called Lift Like a Girl. It's in theaters now, available at theimpactseries.net. And again, check it out there. But for the time being, don't touch that dial, because Motion and Saul Williams coming right up, an engaging, delightful, moving, and thoughtful conversation about a hauntingly beautiful new film, Akilah's Escape. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We are joined by two very special guests here with us today. And what's always so weird about this is here I am looking at you guys digitally face to face. I have no idea where you're calling in from, but we're at least present with one another. Isn't that a cool thing? Saul Williams here and Motion to talk about their, honestly, what I think is a brilliant and beautiful film, Akilah's Escape. Thank you to you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
What a pleasure to have you on the show. And so many places to go with Akilah's Escape. I mean, I remember, so premiered, I think world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival. It was kind of on my short list. And I got to say, I was drawn in by the colors, the shot that, you know, it's just such a gorgeous film. The cinematography is stunning. And then as the film got in deeper and deeper, I just honestly just the layers are beautiful. So yeah. Anyway, congratulations to you both and on a thriller with a heart and a soul.
Thank you. You know, so many of those layers in the film have to do with Motion, who we have here, and I'm so glad to be able to sit here with Motion as well, because her work as a writer, a co-writer of the screenplay with Charles, I think is really the source of that type of layering that we get in the story, and it's beautifully realized in this film. So congrats to you, Motion.
Oh, thank you.
And to your award for the screenplay.
I was just going to say, I think Motion can do a little bragging right now, can't she? Yeah, a little boasting. Motion, do you want to talk about that a little bit? A Canadian Screen Award, I believe.
Well, I would just say it's for the whole team. You know, we for the Canadian Screen Awards this year, we were nominated for 8 awards, including everything from best lead actor all the way to cinematography and sound editing, sound design. It was very multi-layered, and as well as screenplay, which is one of the ones that we did take in that category. But it was really great to be for the film and its large team of creators to be recognized in this way. And so we're really excited about now having the people now get to share. Nice. In seeing the film and engaging in seeing
the film, which they can do on June the 11th in the US in theaters, they can do on June the 15th in Canada, and then I believe around the same time coming out on a video on demand as well, right?
That's right.
Yeah, as beautiful. Well. Beautiful. Well.
Yep.
Motion. So I think the question is the nomination as good as winning?
Hey, it's always great to be nominated. It's great to sell streams. It's great to what that when people say, "Oh, I saw the film at a anything from a festival," and now on, you know, when it's generally released, to get to see it on the large screen as well as soon on the small screen. So anything, we will take it. We just want to know that awesome. The eyes are on screens and are feeling the film, you know. But it was definitely a great honor.
You know what I love? That's what a great expression, feeling the film. I don't know, Motion, if I've actually heard that expression that way quite in that way. You know, I could see a critic, you know, talking about the film. Yeah, I really felt this film in a unique way, and then kind of unpack that. You know, that's really cool.
Well, I think that great cinema is experiential, you know, and Akilah's Escape is an experience, especially, and I haven't had this experience yet, but I'm looking forward to it this Friday, actually, here in LA on the big screen. Because
nice.
Of, you know, the cinematography, the performances, the, you know, I'll say the music as well.
Yes.
You're allowed. You're allowed.
Yeah, yeah. I had a hand in the music for those listening.
Oh, really?
Know.
Yeah.
And,
that was great.
Yeah. And Yeah, I think that it is an experiential sort of film. You know, you get to experience it is something, and that's what we look for sometimes in cinema. Is you know to live through a movie. So yeah, it's real.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about, isn't it about, I hope it's about sort of evoking empathy in the viewer to some degree. Isn't that what I suppose great art or great storytelling really does? It pulls me in and somehow, I mean, I related, by the way, Saul, you're like, I don't know, you're one of my favorite criminals of all time now. Like it's just like, you know, I just honestly, this, you don't even
it's
say
because
anything.
Because I'm a real criminal.
That's right. Let's be honest, right? Yeah. That's hilarious. But I think it's where Motion, help me out here. But aren't we at about the 7 minute mark before we even hear Saul speak? I mean, the expressions, you just drew me in, man. So beautiful
Thank
performance.
You.
And honestly, talk. And I mean, we've already used the word layered a few times, but I kind of wanted to be your friend. Like, I think that's pretty remarkable, right? Out of the gate.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with, once again, Motion and Charles' screenwriting. You know, when I first encountered the script, I was, you know, drawn into the subtlety of the storytelling, into the interior world of the character. And because of our wonderful cinematographer, Maya Benkovich, I was often allowed to explore that interior world while trusting that her camera was catching, you know, what was going on,
right,
you know, behind the eyes and what have you. And so Charles really left the space for that as a director. And I think that sort of subtlety actually always has a big payoff in cinema, you know, as a theater actor who's, you know, knows so much about blocking and voice projection and all that, it's important to realize the difference in media when we're dealing with filmmaking and the space that is allotted to us, you know, that we can trust, you know, to be interior and to be quiet and to trust that also tells a story and conveys emotion and yes, lets people in.
Yes, definitely. Saul embodied the poetry of,
nice,
you know, every movement, every piece of silence as well as words, just through the being of him as an actor and him as an artist, or such a you as an actor and you as an artist, you know, that was, you know, really amazing to witness, both live on set and on the screen. So yeah, wonderful, wonderful poetic rendition and channeling of our man Akilah.
Yeah, nice, nice.
Thank
I want to get. I want to talk about Greek mythology a little bit in a second, Wendy. There's just it's all over the place. Sorry, Motion. Saul, how do you describe yourself? You're at a party. Somebody says, "So, hey, tell me more about who you are and what you do." I mean, where do you start?
Are
you?
I say I'm
musician?
An artist.
You just say you're an artist.
I say I'm an artist. Yeah. And if they dig deeper, they go, "Oh, what kind of art?" I go, "Oh, I write, make music." Perform, you know, like I keep it simple, you know.
You keep it simple.
I'm an artist.
No, I just think it's interesting that Motion mentioned the poetry, and I've been exploring a little bit of that online, and wow, loving what I've seen so far, and I just wonder to what degree being able to express, you know, we're talking about this lived experience, this embodiment of the story and the narrative and the words. And I so love that thread. How much has that work that you've done before informed your ability to be, I don't know, a kind, empathetic, thoughtful criminal in Akilah's escape? I mean, I think that's a really wonderful contrast. It's beautiful to be able to play that.
Well, I mean, you know, first off, Akilah is not a criminal.
Yeah, good, good, good.
You know, but his lived experience has exposed him to, you know, certain aspects of criminality. But for he himself, he's made stronger choices in his life.
So good.
You know?
Yeah.
And
by the way, I love that the first time, Saul, that you pull, or Akilah pulls a weapon, it's not fired. I just, that really stood out to me for the second viewing.
And that was the first time that Saul Williams ever held a gun.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Except for water gun that was like, you know, plastic as a kid. But I would say, I mean, that's a big question there in terms of how art informs, you know, right. how poetry informs performance and all that. Now, I will point out that my background is really in theater. My first love is theater. And so I first identified on this planet as an actor. And what I learned when I encountered poetry was that the sort of work that we were doing around the table as we were, you know, doing a lot of the preparation work for before putting a play on stage or something, breaking down, you know, beats and getting into the literature and the meaning of what was being said. That's really my exposure to poetry and understanding the sort of layered universe of language and where, you know, how things could be said and how things could be expressed and all of this. And so there's that. Then there's lived experience, right? As a parent, as a performer, as someone that is, as you know, in this skin on this planet, as an artist, everything that we face, you know, on an everyday basis, you know, that comes with, you know, walking through life, looking and being like this, that sort of becomes baked in as we go. So now. When an opportunity comes as an actor, those things are there for me to tune into, or you know, when necessary or when it fits, you know. And with the role of Akilah, yes, my relationship to poetry, my relationship to living life as a Black man. Also, my family has migrated to New York from Haiti. And so there's just a great deal that resonated with me and that I understood, almost immediately. So then it all feeds into each other and these are, you know, sort of the palette that we have to use when we delve into performance.
It's good. I love how you brought family into it. For me, you know, Motion, this film, any great film for me is about so many different things. And it's really not even what we're watching really on the surface. There's right. There's so much underneath. And this is why I love watching a film a second and third time or reading a book sometimes a second time, you know, going through the things that are revealed. And I love that, Saul, you brought up family. This film is about family. I'm just struck by the line, and help me out here, Saul, but isn't it, I watched my father fall? Wasn't that the line? Wow, right? How this one moment, how this changes everything.
I think Motion had so much to do with bringing out the, you know, that familial sensibility in the film, no?
Well, myself and Charles really thought a lot about, you know, the different elements of this story that, yes, we have the caper, you know, all the action and adventure and sort of, you know, also the sort of road story elements. But the heart of it is a family story. It's a family drama. It's also a father-son story. It's a story about extended family and families that do not look, like how, I don't know, we expect it to look in Leave It to Beaver or something. Like, basically, yeah.
Does anyone expect family to look like that? Yeah, that's hilarious.
Reruns, I would say. But yeah, like, you know, really looking at intergenerational family and even like, you know, your street family and how we find ways to identify ourselves, not only within our households, but outside of that, to find a sense of belonging and to create a sense of even the family hierarchies that we are constantly recreating in life, whether it's in work, whether it's on in an art scene, whether it's in, you know, street politics, or, you know, or whether it's our blood relations and non-blood relations, and finding our place within that. And within this story, we get to see Akilah both as a child, as a son, but also taking on the vibe of the father figure, of the big brother, of the mentor, you know, whether it is always something that he consciously wants to do, if whether it is in some ways reluctant at times, whether he's resisting it, but also feeling this sense of a spiritual familiarity with young Shepherd. And we get to understand that more as we peel back the layers of the chapters within this story.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm getting motion. I'm getting a sense for why the film was so layered. It's love the response. Love the answer. So cool. So many places we could go there. Saul, I'd love to hear from either of you. Actually, would you consider yourselves political? And the reason I ask that question is there's a great, so many beautiful lines in the film, by the way. Oh, by the way, Saul, one of my faves of yours is I'm self-employed. It's like, come on. Just for the record, I'm going to be using that in the future. I won't deliver it as well as you did, but hey, awesome moment in the film. Product of a people torn apart. Motion, I'd love for you to talk about that. It's all, I'd love for you to reflect on it. Your music, your poetry, your writing, your acting. How? Yeah, I'm not even sure what the question is there, but I know there's a whole lot to say.
Yeah, I feel and definitely saw jump in because I'm sure that you definitely add to this. But one thing I would think is that there's an awareness that our own living is political. Our own existence is resistance. Our very being of being able to breathe and live and survive and thrive in this world, as in this case, as Black people telling a Black story, is affected by history. It's affected by community. It's affected by our geographies. It's affected
by racialized capitalism.
Thank you.
By the film industry. Yeah.
Exactly. And by our ancestries and our ancestors. And I remember when we really thought about this story, you used the line about a people that are, you know, that are affected. You know, we use words like trauma and things like that much easier at this time now, but often don't connect it to the lineage of the type of family and young people that we're speaking about, not even speaking about, that we're expressing here in this story. And so I love the fact that even from a directorial standpoint, how Charles chose to begin the film really is setting the stage, is sort of laying out how the individual choices that we make in the present are often connected to a long line of larger movements and larger occurrences and interests and, you know, and identities, as well as power within this world. And so I think it's a great way for us to look at story, you know, and when, especially when we're telling our stories, it's one way, but it's always making those connections. Saul, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm very clear on the fact that if I were to make the statement that I'm not political, that would indeed be a political statement. So like I'm it. With yeah, you, awesome. Motion, in the sense that existence is resistance, that, you know, at this point and at every point in my experience, I have had no choice but to identify as one who consciously, you know, lives through an experience that has, you know, in some ways caged or boxed me within, you know, preformed ideas and ideologies, and that I am, in a sense, fighting my way out of that creatively, in my case. And I then have made, you know, the choice as an artist, and I make this choice, you know, because I think that the art, because because the art that resonates with me the most on this planet is art that addresses, you know, these things, art that pushes through these boundaries. There's a reason why Bob Marley is on so many t-shirts. There's a reason why Nina Simone is on the tip of our tongues. There's a reason why James Baldwin is there. There's a reason why Toni Morrison is there. There's a reason why Fela Kuti and Public Enemy and all of the things that mean so much to so many, you know, and I'm listing artists. There's a reason why they resonate so deeply. It's because they have connected the profound, you know, imagination and sensibility with this grounded reality that we are forced to fight our way through. And they see art as in many ways a weapon or a means of exposing and exploring ourselves beyond what has been given, because what has been given is full of shit. Is something that, you know, like as we know very clearly, the opportunity for Charles to make this film has not always been there.
Mm.
The opportunity for us to exist as artists in the public forum takes a lot of convincing of gatekeepers who believe that the type of stories we want to tell would have no audience, right? Or because they don't speak to the sort of stereotypical caricatures that they would expect to see through and from us, because that's what they've been fed, and that's what they would like to continue feeding their children. And we have to break that down every day. We're not given a choice. We're not given a choice. And even with the most well-meaning of gatekeepers, we are still force to defend our ideas as not only political statements, but as heightened creative statements that of course are embedded with politics, that of course are, because that's how you heighten that creative statement. That's what punk rock is. You know, that's what classical music is. That's what jazz is. That's what all the great stuff is. But there are gatekeepers that are frightened by it, you right. know, to this day. And so we fight to preserve and to get our voices out there to this day.
Right. By any means necessary.
Saul, you mentioned, I think, James Baldwin. I've only really been introduced to his work in the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years. And it was a Haitian filmmaker, Raoul Pack. I Am Not Your Negro. Honestly, saw that film, blew my mind. How come I don't know about this guy? I've studied philosophy most of my life.
You're supposed to be taught about James Baldwin in school.
Absolutely, 100%.
You're supposed to be taught about that in school. And Absolutely. It's a shame. The same way that you should be taught about Trudell, the same way that you should be taught about, you know, the colonial, like, Canadian forces did to the, you know, the indigenous population, and what the colonial American and imperial forces did to, you know, indigenous and black populations in America. Like, you should be taught the truth. It's a shame that we have to resort to this form of storytelling, because it's the only way it gets out there. You should be taught this in school.
Yeah, it's good. Motion, is Saul channeling a little James Baldwin here? All you need is the cigarette burning there, I think, Saul.
James Baldwin, we channel James Baldwin because we cannot help but, right? And nice. But also good. I think that he often talked about the concept of, once you want to have change, you're enraged within this world. And so whether you have actually read James or are spiritually channeling his work and his spirit, this is a part of our culture in many ways, right? That just, like I said before, in regards to the reality of existence, that is the spirit that has kept us surviving throughout these centuries, and continually creating and continuing to impact culture and continuing to make, you know, to basically make these multi-layer artistic works, political works, social works, whatever types of works that we create through our breathing, through our humanity, through ourselves as examples of what one can do collectively when we come together to tell our stories, to sing our music, to move our bodies, to change the world, you know.
Motion, did you have all that kind of on your desk or nearby, at least as you were writing the script, as you were like, were these conversations you were having with Charles? My understanding is he had this idea back in 2010 for this film.
Right. When we connected, he definitely had his script, his first drafts. And then I came in, he invited me to go into the next phase of writing with him, and which I was so honored and to be able to be a part of. I don't remember us having, you know, these types of conversations in these ways, because there's almost a shorthand of where you're starting from.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, it basically came up through the writing. It came up through the expectation of what we were watching at the time and reading, and even something as simple as like, oh, let's put, you know, the Art of War on Achilles' shelf. Let's
I love see, the like, three the like, three books. Art yeah, what was it? Art, know, Art like, of War, Homer, yeah. and was it Collected Works Iliad of Baldwin or
and Baldwin, and then and yeah, and awesome. You see it again. And so there's almost not as much as a need to explain why. We know why. And what I love in the medium of film is that often we can say with visuals, we can say with the image, with the story, with the image, with the picture, it lends to that other layer of telling the story. So, you know, looking around and seeing what are the little nuggets throughout the whole of the film is part of taking what other parts of the story there are.
It's got to be kind of fun, beautiful, and interesting to look back and to see how some of those details just kind of fit together without kind of really trying, if that makes sense. It's like, you know, in the intentionality of what, like you said, what you were reading, what you were thinking about, what you were listening to at the time, how it informed it. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful, I think, comment on art. And just about creativity and discovery. Saul, you know, I think it's connected too. Help me out here. But, you know, I knew your character in this film was a man of quality. Your facial expressions, your eyes, the way you presented yourself in the room while all that action, violence is happening around you, how things could go sideways so quickly. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I got that sense from you. Like, I empathize with you immediately. And I think that's brilliant with respect to your performance. But
thank
as you said earlier, I think to Motion's writing as well. And it's so hard. It must be so hard to make a film that's, you know, a thriller action film that's important. And I think that's what you've done, which is a marvelous, marvelous thing.
Thank you. I mean, as an actor, I love interior work.
I
love interior work. I love all the work that goes on, you know, before the camera is rolling.
That's awesome.
And I also really love, you know, like I worked on a film in 2012 or 2010 called Tay or Aujourd'hui, which was shot in Senegal with a Senegalese filmmaker named Alain Gomis. And I remember reading that script, which I had to like read with a dictionary because it was written in French in Wolof. But in the description of the character there, it was all talking about what was going on in the character's head, you know, so that the script kind of read like a novel describing what the character was thinking about. And it was the first instance that I had the opportunity to start thinking about why, when I was in acting class at NYU, we also would study mime.
right.
You know, and mask work.
Right.
You know, because we put on these, you know, like leather Italian masks and we'd wear spandex and body suits, and we'd be given these situations where they're like, you know, you're walking through fog and you see the ocean for the first time, but you're in a mask and everything is covered and you have to show what it looks like to see the ocean for the first time.
You got to communicate
that, you know? And these are practices that I loved in acting school, and someone like Charles and Motion have given me the opportunity to explore a bit deeper. I actually love that kind of work. I wouldn't mind going through.
Have, Have you been able to draw from the masks of recently? Like if
without a doubt, yeah, without a doubt. Awesome. No, so it's cool. It's always, I mean, my studies as an actor have informed my performance as a musician.
So good.
My writing and performance as an actor, as a poet. And of course, back when I get back to acting, it's always there too. And now even in my work as a director, you know, like it's all informed.
Hey, I think that's time for a quick shout out. Your work as a director. I believe yes. The film might be called Neptune's Frost.
Neptune Frost.
Tell us about what's going on.
Well, yeah. Neptune Frost is a film that I've co-directed with my wife, Anisia Uziman. It's a project that we've been working on for several years. We held a Kickstarter in 2018 to go into development and then raise funds beyond that to shoot in Rwanda, which we did just before the pandemic. And we were able to wrap like 4 days before the world shut down. Wow. And it's a sci-fi musical shot entirely in Rwanda with the Rwandan cast and crew. We built a Amazing. Village there, a built village made out of recycled computer parts, which is where the story takes place. And the news came out today that Neptune Frost will premiere at this year's Cannes Film Festival as part of the Director's Fortnight selection. And so we're very excited for the world to see this film, which is stunningly beautiful, and it's a musical, you know. And so yeah,
all this applause that you can't hear is from my listeners right now. I'll just so you know, that's amazing, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, can't wait to see it. That's awesome.
Yep.
Motion. So Greek tragedy. And sadly we gotta wind up this interview in a few minutes here. I feel like we've just started, you know. This is amazing. I'm loving every minute of this. So, did you and Charles, was that really intentional on your part right out of the gate? Would you say Iliad, tragedy, Greek, or was it in a way more not a send up, but was it like an homage in a sense?
There was definitely intentionality. Even when you go back to looking at the title, and you know, as its nod to the story of the Iliad, and also just delving into how, you know, myths are created, you know,
right.
We create them as we live every day, and maybe 2000 years from now, Aquila, will be a myth. Nice. Shepherd may be a myth, you know, all of these amazing characters, are at how they're born. And, you know, there's also that long tradition of folklore, the tradition of legends, the tradition of, you know, of traditional as well as, you know, urban, the way that story is utilized to be a form of passing on life lessons and wisdoms and questioning life and our own humanity and how we, our relationship to each other and our relationship to the world. And even more so, our relationship to ourselves. And so I feel that delving into Achilles' escape is an example or, a part of that line, a part of that bloodline of storytelling, when nothing is simple and all is, you know? So, yeah, so it definitely was part of the intention and of this piece.
Yeah, I so love, again, I think I've already said it, but I so love that you've made a deeply entertaining, super cool, amazing to look at film that's layered and important and political and relational. It's about family. It's about making better choices. It's deeply existential piece. It really is. It's wonderful. And I think it really kind of, kind of pushes back, I would think, on audiences' expectations. I don't know if that's a fair way to put it or not, but I don't think they're going to be expecting to think about this film quite as much as they're going to have to, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, too. Yeah, I feel like I would say it depends which audiences are watching, where in the world, where in their own experience, where who they are. I know that this will touch many different audiences and who will bring different backgrounds to the story and what they're not only looking for, but what they are able to take in and translate for themselves. And but keeping the humanity of these stories are always important for us to know that we are channeling human beings and you know, who love, who hate, who cry, who miss, you know, who are frightened, but also live through fright and find bravery and courage, who want redemption, who want peace. That's a big key element within this piece is sort of that vision for what Akilah wants, what he wants for Shepherd, what Shepherd's learning about himself, you know, and the many other characters within who are also doing
that quest,
the same.
Yep.
Right, exactly. The whole thing of having the good and the bad, it's not as simple as the protagonist. Everybody is within this, it has goals and trying to figure it out, and we're getting a chance to dip in one night in the lives of where these characters meet and who will be here in the morning.
I would say too also that back in the days of Blockbuster Video.
I remember those days.
It's not quite as far back as Leave It to Beaver motion, but it's
that's right.
But,
yeah.
But, I would always seek out films that were described as hauntingly beautiful.
Nice. Yeah.
That was good. Always something where I was like, oh, I think I'm going to like this. Mm-hmm. They say it's hauntingly beautiful. And I think that is a descriptive that applies very well to Akilah's Escape.
Yeah, it does.
You know, is that it's definitely something that's beautiful to watch, but the story, the layering, it will stay with you.
Yeah,
after you see it.
I'm getting goosebumps. 100%. Like, it's such a stunning ending, by the way. Like, it's just it's to your point. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's traumatic, and yet it's beautifully hopeful. Like, I wanted to ask you, and I haven't gotten to it, and we really do need to wrap up. But
no spoilers here.
None. But for me, this is there's a hope embedded in this piece that is just, it's brilliant. And I saw it more the second time around. And I think it's a testament to not only the directing, the acting and the writing, but just as a whole, as a piece, it's going to stand the test of time, I think. And I love that you made the comment, maybe in 2000 years, this is going to be seen as one of those stories. I think that's awesome. It's so, so wonderful. Hopeful. You're both pretty hopeful people, right?
Well, if I answer that, I'm going to say, you know, that the Tao Te Ching says that, you know, hope is as hollow as fear. Keep your feet firmly rooted on the ground.
Wise advice.
So I don't really dabble in too much hope, but I don't dabble in cynicism either, because I believe that the truth and the honesty that we seek, like the peace that we seek, is, you know, inevitable. It's not to say that there won't be hardship or fights, but I think it's only a matter of time before, you know, those who would withhold these truths are forced to face themselves. But that's not hope. That's just an observation.
Yeah, I mean, hope. I mean, yeah, no, for sure. Hope and fear. I think there's a fine line. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that you say you're not cynical either. You don't. What was it? I don't dabble in hope, but I don't dabble in cynicism either.
No, nice. Not at all.
Yeah. Nice soundbite. Yeah, I don't think Akilah does either.
Hmm.
That's my two cents. What a honor to have you guys on the show. Honestly, it's just, I mean, holy cow, you Cannes Festival, Today News, Canadian Screen Award, Motion. It's just this beautiful film. It's been a pleasure chatting with you guys. I really do feel like we've just got rolling.
Yeah.
For all the info, just check out canesugarfilms.com or hit us up at Achilles Escape or at Cane Sugar on the socials and you'll get the
nice
minute by minute updates.
That's awesome. That's right. We'll get word out for you as well.
But listen, hear it, feel it, watch it, and then pass it on.
Yes, yes.
Nice. That is the line going for. Thank you so much for that.
And pass it.
There you go. Thanks a lot for joining me today. We've had Saul Williams in Motion here talking about a beautiful, hauntingly beautiful new film, Achilles Escape.
Ah, we got the descriptive. Thank you.
So there you have it. That was Achilles Escape. Fun, interesting, engaging conversation with Saul Williams and Motion talking about this beautiful film. You know, I hope you were listening when Saul talked about not dabbling in hope or cynicism. So many places that this interview took me for sure. And I was frustrated as usual that it wasn't a longer piece, but I'm hoping for a part two sometime down the road. Don't forget canesugarfilms.com. You can check out more information there. You can see the film on Amazon and at TIFF currently. And don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and my speaking and my podcasting. It's all there on the site. And don't forget, I would really appreciate it if you'd give us a review, sign up for our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up, and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us again this week for Achilles Escape, and we'll see you very soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.